listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are rewatching Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
And we are still without a John Sieber, but not fully. Not fully. John is out on paternity leave, Bradshaw Boys paternity leave. He's not here with us tonight, but he kind of is, you know?
In spirit.
Spirit.
Well, you know what? Let's not dilly dally. Let's just say we don't know what it is either.
We don't. No, we have no idea.
Let's because I feel like why waste it? We have it, and then we can talk about it because we don't know what John's going to say.
Let's do it. All right.
We have John in digital spirit here on the pod.
Yep.
All right.
Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Try it.
Yo, what is up, boys? It's your old pal, John. Just calling to say hey, checking in, see how you guys are doing. Sorry I've missed the last couple episodes. If it makes you feel any better, I've been changing diapers and doing a lot of 2 a.m., 4 a.m. Sex and the City episodes. So I have been keeping up. I think we're, Kitty and I are watching episodes from season 5 right now. But I miss you guys, miss all you listeners. Thank you for allowing me to take some time off. When we come back, Katie and I have an unbelievably amazing story about Mickey's birth and Sex and the City and how they tie together. But anyway, I just wanted to leave you guys a quick note, tell you all that I love you and love all you fans and still getting my Sex and the City fix. But yeah. Have a good episode, and we will talk to you guys later. Bye.
Wow. I just love hearing his voice. You know,
it kind of made me sad.
I know, me too.
It made me think about. I was like, it's sad in like a good way. That it was like, it is kind of crazy. You just do something, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we've done this for hundreds and hundreds of hours. And I was like, I can't believe we're doing it. Like when we started. It's like, oh wow, we're just doing this without John. It seemed unthinkable, but we're it's great.
It's wild. I know. It's also funny that it made me kind of sad too. But both of us talked to John. It's just good to hear John's voice on the pod again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Through COVID, through birth, through marriages, through relationships beginning and ending. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had a lot of shit go down on this pod.
We really have. We've lived some life together. We really have lived some life.
And in the midst of all of it, you know what's crazy?
Hmm.
Did you see the thing that I sent you that they may extend this into a regular show? If not, if it's a one-off, then that's totally fine. And just like that. But you know, they're talking about announcing a season 2 of And Just Like That.
Are you serious already?
100%. 100%. They're leaking it, and they're now here's the God's honest truth is that there's the same time that people were trashing it. Like, this is what's interesting is like, you sent us the article, John and I, the article that was like, it's been a disaster because of leaks and because of this, but really they say it's a disaster. But then you read the exact same, things that on the other side are positive, that people are saying are positive because it's showing an interest in the show. Yeah. So it's either two things. And this is from our inside source at Entertainment Tonight. Mm-hmm. Is that it's either two things. It's either one, they're just doing it to like put it out there that it's going really well, which is what I think, or they're saying it's going really well and they are trying to make up for the fact that it's like going poorly. But I'm like, how could it be going poorly? All it is people being pumped.
Yeah. I mean, when I sent you guys that article, someone had sent it to me and it was just like, it's a disaster. And then I read all the things and it was everything that had been, it was just, it was spinning all the leaks in a way that was like, this proves it's terrible. We've talked about this before. A lot of those leaks and a lot of those things are just to get people excited about it. And it's like,
yeah, it's, and some it's like the natural. Leaks. Yeah. And also it's funny because it's like that, that adds to the excitement. And also imagine this, like if you're HBO Max and they need HBO Max to do better than it has been, that's like why they put all the WB movies on there. So that's why like In the Heights and Dune are like premiering on there.
Right.
Which is, so if you're in the Heights and you're, or I'm sorry, if you're, if you're HBO Max and Lin-Manuel, you're looking at things,
Lin-Manuel Miranda Hobbs Esquire, that's who we're talking
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're HBO Max,
if you're HBO Max and you're looking, you're like, okay, we put how many millions of dollars into like six episodes of White Lotus. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or like $80 million for Mayor of Easttown. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're just looking at numbers now. And you're like, this show hasn't even come out. And look at the fucking conversation that we don't even have to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like it's just automatically built in,
yeah,
like massive social engagement. So yeah, when you look at it, I do wonder if, and then also to be honest, like I go back and forth between being like, this is going to be horrible or it's going to be great. It'll probably be somewhere in the middle, like all things are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But seeing some of the pictures and seeing like Anthony and seeing, you know, Steve and Miranda, you're sort of like, it's becoming more of a reality of like, oh, they're on set saying the lines, doing the shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, they basically have leaked that HBO Max is looking at when they're going to announce a season two before season one premieres.
That's wild. That's crazy.
And all this came about just now. We were just thinking about this because I'm like, imagine that just the, could we have had better timing for our podcast than than them not just do one off, but then if it just is like another five seasons.
I mean, it would be the craziest thing that, like when we started, people were like, why now? And then we were like, oh, it just ended up. We didn't even plan it, but it was like, oh, it happened to be at the 20th year anniversary. And now it's like, it's a whole other show.
Yeah. And just like that six joint. Oh, dude, Christopher Jackson from In the Heights and who the George Washington from Hamilton is in, just announced is going to be in it.
Is he really? No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's still going to play George Washington, just like he did in Hamilton.
That's weird. I thought he was just going to play the Mr. Softy guy like he did in the Heights. He just keeps trying to sell them Mr. Softy, and Lin-Manuel comes up with his shaved ice cart and keeps cutting him off, trying to get carried by that. Someone said in this Daily Mail article, they say the source added that the door is open for Kim Cattrall to return to her role as Samantha Jones after she refused to participate in the reboot. That's with the season two rumors. I mean, if you think about
also,
it.
Also, I like how it's refused. It's not just like chose.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just like being so, that would be so obnoxious to just, to have something, yes, it benefits you, but it's just like, and we've said this before, but it's like, just to have everyone else telling you have to do a thing. It's like, it's my fucking life. If I don't want to play Samantha Jones and make a bunch of fucking sex puns for the next month of my life and do press, like, then fuck it. I don't want to.
Totally. It's like when like people are like, oh, I'm going to quit acting or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's just a life choice. Like you don't have to keep doing it. Totally.
I know, but people get so pissed about that. Whenever someone, there was some Broadway actress that was like, won a Tony Award and was like, I'm not going to act anymore. And all these people that like, are just like, why would you do it? Like, and it's just like, well, you can do whatever you want. Remember when Cal Penn stopped acting to go work in the Obama administration?
Yes, totally.
Now, listen, I'm not saying that some of these decisions aren't weird, but you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, totally.
The Unabomber was a professor at Harvard, and then he went out to a cabin and built bombs and then mailed them to people. I'm not saying it's okay. It's just you can change your life path whenever you want to.
Listen, if you want to pull a Kaczynski, go for it. But I think a lot of people would have probably had him stay a professor. I think that they were more into that.
And a lot of people, oh, a lot of people right now are like, oh, Corey and Kevin going on some rant that has nothing to do with Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting, because Unabomber was a miniseries with Chris Noth and Ben Weber.
That's right. Yeah. They were in the Unabomber. They were in that miniseries. We talked to Ben Weber about it. Look up the episode. It all comes back together, everybody. Okay.
You're in safe fucking hands.
That's right. You know, I'm looking at all these pictures on the Daily Mail article, and it's really funny because there's a picture that I think went kind of viral, and it's of Miranda, Charlotte, and Carrie all like with their mouths open, looking up, going like, oh, like they're watching something on like a scaffolding or something like that.
Oh, wow.
It's always really funny to imagine that it's just the second falling of Lexi Featherstone, that they're just watching that. They're just watching it happen again.
Oh my gosh. She's just mangled and she survived the first one, but it happens again. And they're just like, oh no. Oh, that'd be no. So funny if they just went so broad.
Oh my gosh.
Also, fantastic. Do you know what's funny? It's funny to imagine everything you say being like parsed, mm-hmm. like Kim Cattrall or people at this level, because if we were famous enough, someone could write an article that was just like podcasters compare Kim Cattrall's decision to not star in another season of Sex and the City to Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. I have to apologize and be like, when I said that, I want to sincerely apologize to all those that lost their lives as a result of Ted Kaczynski, and especially to Kim Cattrall.
I know that she didn't lose her life, but we have lost her fandom, and we are listening and learning and figuring out ways to earn her trust back. Please subscribe to our Patreon.
And then Kim Cattrall just is totally cool about it. She's like, babe, anything to do with packages, I'm down for.
Packages that go boom, sign me up. Packages that go boom, you know my box is open. Oh my God. We need to write a spec script of just Samantha dating the Unabomber while he's in jail.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
That's the parallel to like, and just like that comes out. But then there's like another one that happens in the past. That's why she's not with them. She decided to get in a relationship with the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. Love it.
Oh yeah. Dude. And she like, oh man, this is so ridiculous, but it's great.
Fantastic.
What episode are we watching?
We're watching Sex and the City, episode, let's see, season 3, episode 3. What is this one called? Attack of the 5'10" Woman. I believe that's the one we're watching. Attack of the 5'10" Woman.
Look. I guess 5'10". It's so funny to be, yeah, 5'10" for a woman is very tall, but it's funny that we were just talking the last episode about height and everything. And before you said woman, I thought it was like, you were like 5'10". I was like, that's not like tall enough to be a big deal, but I guess it is for a lady.
Yeah, it's true. That's a taller woman. Sure. I think this is the one where all of them go and, all of them befriend, Cheryl Swoops from the WNBA. I think that's what this episode is about.
Hey, and Lisa wait. And Lisa Loeb, not Lisa Loeb, Lisa Leslie.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, you want to watch this episode?
Let's go watch it.
All right. Let's Katie, tell us what it's about. We'll see you guys after we watch it. Bye.
Mike.
Episode 33, Attack of the 5'10" Woman. Carrie must confront her past with Big when she runs into Natasha, Big's wife. Miranda hires Magda, an Eastern European maid with very traditional values. Charlotte deals with some of her body issues at a spa, while Samantha is banned from the spa when she gets physical with a masseuse. And now, back to the boys.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
Attack of the 5'10 woman. I don't know if you remember or not, but when we did our first ever pod of this, that's how we came back in. You were like, attack of the 5'10 woman. Oh, it's so stupid.
You know, we have a special guest on the pod right now. We have someone who did a spinoff of this episode. We tried to get George Lucas.
Yeah.
Because he did Attack of the Clones.
He was busy digitally inserting newer semi-racist characters into the new Star Wars.
So I am a Samantha because I love sucking dick. And I love aliens. Well, if there was an alien here, I would want to have sex with them.
George Lucas, I did not expect that from you.
You know what? Okay.
Wait, who's our other special guest? We couldn't get Lucas. Who else do we get?
We have on a very special guest, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome the guy that Natasha had a shower with in college.
Hey, what's up? I'm his friend. I was there in the other stall. It was pretty sick.
I took a shower with her. It was in public space.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, me too.
Lucky guy, though. This episode, now listen, sometimes I artificially horn up. Mm-hmm. I play a part, okay. But I'm telling you right now, this episode horned me up more than any Sex in the City episode ever. Just bunch of naked women.
Tell the listeners why. Yeah.
Well, because they're all like, there's so many naked women, and then it's just all about Kristen Davis, and then you don't see him, right? No seeing.
No. Yeah, I mean, not with Kristen Davis. There's a lot of other nudity in this episode.
A lot of other boobs. And then everyone's just like, man, your boobs are the best. I love your boobs. And then it was just like, you see her boobs at some point, sometimes even just through bras. Not that I know specific. Yes, definitely. Through bras like and stuff. But then it just got me thinking. It's just like seeing like a Victoria's Secret ad and how that's like better than porn. You know, you're just like, just seeing a bunch of naked women, then seeing the love of my life, Kristen Davis. It just got me going.
It's the same thing. And like, you know, it's like in Jaws, you don't see the shark till later. It's like, if you hide it, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's, you know, it keeps the mystery there. I mean, it's telling that this episode is, there's a lot of nudity in it and it's Kristen Davis going through, you know, decide whether or not to take off a towel. And there's a dude named Kevin who's giving out inappropriate massages. I feel like there's so much Bradshaw Boys stuff in the subtext.
No, so there's a character in this, and then you can do the breakdown, but there's a character in this named Kevin who does massages. You get a massage and then he'll also go down on you during the massage. Okay. So I just wanted to announce here for everyone to hear, there's a special new Patreon tier that we have where you can listen to the podcast and then Kevin will go down on you. Now you have to opt into this. You have to opt into this Patreon tier and, you know, but it is, we're going to announce it. It's based on this episode. So it's not random. It's just that there's clearly some ladies that are open to paying for something and getting a little extra. And so that's what our Patreon is all about.
Totally. There's some people in the Patreon who, you know, there's the Mr. Big tier. There's different tiers, and that's the great part of Patreon. The great part of Patreon, you know. All right.
Why don't you run through it, and then we'll
get into it.
We'll get into it. All right. I'm gonna run us through. Okay, so we get into this. Carrie talks about brunch in New York City and how you can get eggs anytime. And then they meet up for a brunch chat and chew, and they read the women's sports pages, which is the New York Times wedding pages. And they talk about all the women in there. And then they come across Natasha and Big's announcement. And Carrie says, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Carrie and Charlotte go back to Carrie's apartment, and Charlotte reads it to her. Just a little wild.
Wait, do they call it the women's sports page?
They do. They say the sports page is for women. The New York Times.
How funny is that we were talking about WNBA players before we watched this episode, and they say the women's sports pages is the wedding section.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, sorry, go on.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's it. And so then, so they read it. Carrie cries. She starts comparing herself to Natasha, saying that, you know, she's just the writer whose columns are backed by the boner pills. And Natasha, you know, is this beautiful 5'10", 25-year-old. And so then they find out that there's a Women in the Arts luncheon that Natasha runs. So Samantha says she's going to go to it with Carrie. This is also the beginning of Samantha just becoming the best friend. And that brings up Carrie's question. Are there women in New York that exist to make us feel, are there women in New York that exist only to make us feel bad about ourselves? We also meet we meet Miranda's newest relationship with Magda. We're introduced to Magda, which we're very happy about. And then, you know, this is the woman who is like, is she trying to make her feel bad about herself? Magda's cleaning everything up, trying to get her to drink tea. Eventually Magda finds her goodie drawer. Finds all her condoms and vibrator and stuff. And then all the women go to a spa. The music in the spa is fantastic. It's like a lot of scat going on there. And Charlotte is afraid to get naked in it. She says she didn't grow up in a naked house, and she's also insecure about her thighs. And she goes through this thing where the women in there are making her feel bad about herself because they're so free with their bodies. Meanwhile, there's a guy that's giving out massages that Samantha, and his name is Kevin. And Samantha hears that he's going down on people, so she tries to make that happen for her. Finally, Magda and Miranda are there back at Miranda's apartment. Magda puts a Virgin Mary in the goodie drawer. Miranda kind of blows up on her and says, I'm an independent woman. I drink coffee. I have battery powered devices. And that ends up tying up with Magda putting out her condoms on a plate for her when she comes home. Kind of looks like a communion plate at some point. Charlotte's storyline ties up with she goes back and is brave enough to walk through and get naked. And some woman tells her, I would kill for your breasts. Samantha's storyline is that she's getting a massage from Kevin. She reaches out and sexually assaults Kevin by grabbing his penis, gets Kevin fired, only to later find out at the women in the arts luncheon that these women now are mad at Samantha because Samantha got the guy fired that would go down on them. And then finally, Carrie ends up, she sees Natasha. She goes to the luncheon. Turns out Natasha is not at the luncheon, but she sends Carrie a very nice thank you note, and she misspells the word there. And Carrie feels good about herself because she said Natasha doesn't know how to spell. So that's where we are. That's Attack of the 5'10" Woman.
Great job,
Corey. Where do we want to start with this? Thank you.
I want to start with how Samantha, how poorly that storyline. You want to talk about storylines that don't do well? She just assumes and grabs the guy's dick. I mean, there's no other thing to call that other than pure and utter sexual assault played for comedy.
1,000%. 1,000%. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't want to touch anything too real, but you know, Terry Crews talks about his sexual assault, which reminds me, like Terry Crews said he was at a Hollywood party and some man came up and just grabbed his dong.
Dude, you know how many gay guys have grabbed my penis? And I've had to be like, I'm not gay. I can name, I mean, I went to school for musical theater, so that's, you're going to have some dongs be grabbed. But, but it is just funny that it's like, I don't know. It is, I'm half being joking about how it doesn't age well, because it's like, whatever, it is like played for comedy. But it is funny how it's just like, whoopsie daisy. But if you have just imagined if you did that to your female masseuse and just like grabbed her tits just because you heard that she may give you a happy ending.
Yeah. Flip it around. It is not even flip it around. Play it for what it is. It is not good either way.
And then gets him fired.
Yeah.
It's just like, just imagine the wreckage, the ring puddles that have like spread out of what Samantha's done. And she's just like, oopsie daisy.
I know. She does really go along with she really does kind of just go along with her life like nothing happened in this one. She's totally fine with it.
Yeah. You know, do you know what's funny? Michael Douglas, how he talked about how he got throat cancer because he went down on too many women. You know, Kevin's got some major HPV in the back of his throat.
Oh man, Kevin. Hey, we need to talk about Kevin. He has major HPV.
Totally. Yeah, we need to talk about Kevin's HPV.
I mean, I feel like that would be if they just like blew the lid off a huge sex scandal where it was like, that would be like a daily episode or just some sort of thing where it was like, now you think that it's bad that this one woman harassed him and then outed him. But we came to find in this country club was sexual foreplay and harassment was rampant in this country club. Like that seems like, they're just kind of playing the whole thing for comedy, but just think if you like went to a gym and it was just like, oh, there's this one masseuse that is going down on multiple women at this place. And it's just kind of like a handshake deal.
That's the sort of thing like, listen, you're going to have to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. That is like, you're at the, you want to be at the boring country club or you want to be at the fun one where there's like a little riffraff that happens.
Hey, John's talked about how good of a gym Equinox is. Maybe that's what's going on at Equinox.
It used to be before it was as easy to be just live your life as a gay man. You'd go to bathhouses and it was probably the most fun. You'd go there and you'd like wink at people and you'd all like, but then weren't you talking about how on the subway there was someone like the one in Chelsea apparently is still popping? Gotta be still
there
popping.
There was a New York sports clubs in Chelsea that when I used to work by there, I had a friend who's gay and he was just like, oh dude, he was like, the locker room at that one, this was a while ago, but yeah, he was like, it's a lot of hookups going on in there. Totally. I'm sure that there's so many gyms where that
I want to get what's a know, male prostitute
it's like
called?
A known thing. A John is when you are paying for sex. You're a John.
No, I'm talking about a male prostitute who goes around. I want to know, I guarantee there has to be a male prostitute who services.
A gigolo.
There has to be like a gigolo for like rich Upper East Side women.
Yeah. A midnight cowboy type guy.
Yes. A John Voight.
Yeah.
There's got to be something like that. I wonder how you do some research and find out. That's basically what Kevin was. All these ladies are just like, we got to get it from somewhere. And Kevin was like, I'm down. Yeah. I feel like that has to happen in real life because once there's like money involved, you know, I guess it's like you would assume that, you know, that a lot of these people's husbands are cheating. And the lady's got to get it somewhere. They're getting it from Kevin, but it would be so fascinating to like see if you could get into that underworld and hear someone from the inside talk about it. Because especially if they're saying that it's based on truth, it doesn't necessarily have to mean like this exact truth, but you know that they must have known some stories of like there's these guys that are, you know, taking care of some ladies.
I mean, totally. There's definitely that old trope of like the rich woman and her trainer while the husband is like off on his business trips and stuff. There's just like some woman in her tennis coach or whatever, you know. And the husband and the wife are both cheating, you know, and it's just usually someone providing more than one service, you know? So,
yeah.
I feel like Samantha's, aside from her being a good friend, that's a very Samantha-y story of just like, I'm going to get a massage. I'm going to get a rub down.
I mean, yeah, I was just a flippant, silly little story. I was trying to like, you know, I feel like we got a little bit out of that rather than being like wacky, unrealistic story that didn't matter. Move on. We got some meat off that bone.
Yeah. Got a little meat off that bone. Yeah.
You know, but
all right, let's,
but Kevin doesn't like his meat or his bone played with. Okay.
No. Samantha was trying to get a little more meat off that bone and, did not go well. Did not go well at all.
Who should we go with next? Charlotte, Miranda, or Carrie?
Let's go with Miranda. I mean, first of all, meeting Magda, you know, super, Lynn Cohen. She's passed away last year at 86.
Fantastic
actress. Yeah. Fantastic actress. She was in The Affair too. I never watched The Affair. Did you watch The Affair?
No, it's set in the Hamptons though.
Yeah, totally.
I've heard season one is really good. And our friends, Streets of Laredo, were in a few episodes.
That's right. Yeah.
I've actually heard it's very good.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good too. The thing that is interesting, I mean, there was a little interesting bait and switch where she was like Miranda's newest relationship and you thought it was going to be Steve, and there's no Steve in this at all. But I feel like they played this one up pretty well. I mean, look, I think Magda is completely lovable. Definitely kind of a weird thing when you've got someone who you're hiring to just be in your space and then they start trying to run your life a little bit, you know? You're definitely a person who you like to control your environment in a good way. Like you like your apartment how you like it.
Yeah.
You are like, you're very open about stuff, but I think if someone came into your place and was like, "Hey Kevin, for your morning coffee, I'm going to have you drinking tea instead, and you're going to drink it out of this mug." I don't feel like that would fly with you.
Yeah. I would say Magna would be like, "Please, I have to feed my family." I'd be like, "Well, yeah, then you shouldn't have messed with my stuff. You're fired. All right. And I don't want to hear anything else about it. Okay. Get a new job.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Get out of my apartment." Yeah, I know. I mean, here's the thing is like, cool. This is the one of the criticisms of Sex and the City is that like, it's like all like rich, privileged women, you know? But I think one of the ways that the show is like very cool and respectable is to have like a immigrant nanny be like a real character rather than just like a prop that's like the nanny that you never know about. Like that's actually,
yes,
I had a really interesting discussion last night because I saw a movie that with a friend of mine that is like a pretty iconic like independent film from the 60s. And we were talking about representation and it was like, there's a lot of racial parts of the movie that you're like, "Whoa, I don't know if that would fly." But at the same time, it was like this fully black cast.
Can you say what the movie was? Do you want to say what the movie was?
It was called Birth of a Nation. No, I'm kidding. It was called
very controversial.
No, it was called Putney Swope. And
Robert Downey Sr. I love that movie.
So the reason why I was playing is because like there were some people out here in Sag Harbor that were like friends with him. And so since he passed away this past year, they had him, some of it was like his friends and we just went to go see it. And I just heard about the movie, but it was interesting. I don't want to get too far off because it is exactly with this. That is like, it can be weird. It can be a little uncomfortable to be like Magna is just like the housekeeper that Miranda's like annoyed with and she has an accent like, and then also like that is one of the risks that I think Sex and the City takes, which is like making attempts toward representation and that's also realistic. So because when you shy away from that, you're just like, I don't want my character to be unrelatable. So I'll never show that my character has a nanny because it'll make them unrelatable. And I think that this is kind of cool because Miranda's like a girl boss, but it's like she has the money. She has a nanny. She's like got to get shit done. And I do feel like that is just, I don't know. She's kind of a fascinating character that's not ahead of her time, but it's just something that in a writer's room, that would be a self-conscious thing maybe now that it's like, do we want to show this like rich lawyer lady be out of touch by having a nanny? And instead I feel like they were like, let's try and make this as fully fledged and interesting a character as possible.
Well, I think it also sort of speaks to this thing where like you know, there are different tiers of people. Like someone, I think Carrie says to her, she says something like, can we talk about the fact that you have a cleaning lady? Like you can afford a cleaning lady. And like, that's definitely something where that's also a realistic thing where it's like people start making a certain amount of money and they pay for a cleaning person, you know, or they pay for, you know, they pay for services like that. People pay for childcare. But like, I would say cleaning lady is like more of a luxury service. And so there definitely is a thing there. And you're right. There is kind of like a not power dynamic, but yeah, you're right. It's like an older immigrant woman who is now working for Miranda, there's a generational divide between the two of them. Cause that woman is much more conservative than Miranda. And it shows good character depth for the show and for Miranda.
I don't want to come become out of touch as podcasters with our audience, but there is a cleaning lady whose number gets passed around our friend group who most of us have used at some point. And when you find out how much, I think to have a cleaning lady come every day or every week would be crazy, but once a year, that's what I do. I have a cleaning person come once a year.
You do a deep clean once a year?
I clean my own apartment, but then like for like the spring session, you know, the spring, spring cleaning. 4 hours, $100. And they get to those places that a Swiffer that I literally don't know how to do it. Like I will clean as hard as I can. And I'm like, it's still fucking gross here. Like what, how do you do that? And 4 hours, $100, that's worth it. I couldn't do more than that.
Yeah. And then
financially
your apartment's, no, your apartment's super clean. And then she puts a Jesus statue where all your condoms were. But, no, I mean like I used to do this service called Handy, which was like, It's like Molly Maids or whatever. It was like an app where they did that. And it was, when it started, it was like $14 an hour. It was like insanely cheap because they did these like promotions. But it was kind of crazy because it was like Uber for cleaning. And so like people would come into your apartment, but it was a little weird after a while because there'd be people showing up and you basically hand them your keys. And then you're like, but there's no relationship there. There's one time that there was this one lady that showed up and I was like, I have to go to work. Here's my number. And I had a friend staying with me and he came back and he just was like, dude, so I came back to your apartment and I walked into the bathroom and there was just a woman in her early 50s in a sports bra who was really sweaty scrubbing the shower and she screamed. I think I really freaked her out. I was like, oh, yeah.
Dude, I pay my once a year, that sort of thing. I think it was Handy. And the person was like, listen, I prefer to just like you be out of the space so I can just get down to business. And I was like, all right, 4 hours.
Totally.
I think it was like a special. So it was like $80. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I really need this $80 to be worth it, you know? And I was like, I want to do everything. And I forgot something. I came back like 30 minutes later and she was just like leaning out the window, smoking, half of it like getting into my apartment.
Nice.
And I was like, and she was like, put it out and was like, I'm getting back to work right now. And I was like, gotta be honest. You can't smoke again it's not like for the timing, but also like a lot of this is getting in. I was like, I could not handle it, but it was funny.
It's a real two steps
after she left.
Forward,
I was like, it's a fucking hard job. Whatever.
I mean, yeah, listen, sometimes you gotta smoke while you're cleaning, but that is probably not a good thing to do, to smoke in your apartment, no matter who you are.
Testament to the show, though, for side characters. I just forgot, like, just so many side characters that are just great characters.
Magda's an incredible side character. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. So, so good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about body insecurities.
Let's talk about body insecurities in Charlotte. Yeah. Charlotte, I'm trying to think if there's things leading up to this. They're reading the New York Times. She reads the thing about Natasha. And then I don't remember. I think it's just normal, but then they get there and they're all pretty comfortable. I guess they're all just sitting topless in the steam. When you go in a steam room or a sauna, are you toweled up or are you balls out?
I'm toweled up, but I've only ever gone to a sauna like that where it's men and women. So I usually have a bathing suit on.
Right. Yeah. I would go to the Y, and it is kind of I think that stuff's been shut down for like a year and a half now, but I would always be toweled up. And then if there's like not a lot of people in there, you get comfortable and then you're kind of just, I just go kind of loincloth. A little covered.
Well, I think that like, I've even talked to my sisters about this, but like there's its own version of traumatizing experience of like showering as like a boy in like middle school and high school. But I think it's like way harder for women because guys are just like, yeah, it's like weird. And like, I don't know, people like, I think it's more bodily traumatizing. I think there's traumatizing parts for guys that are more just like masculine guy locker room stuff that is like in plenty of movies and stuff. But I do think I should text my sister. I'll see if my sister responds now. But like, I specifically remember them being like really insecure about like most women in school, sure, like being insecure about the locker room stuff.
You gotta think more than guys. As anyone, your body is changing, but as a woman, you know, this is by the way, we need to have a word, we need to have a term for it, but it's like when the Bradshaw boys are going into territory that they're fully unqualified to cover, which is most things. But you know, your body is changing so much in so many ways. As a guy, you know, your body's changing, but it's totally different than women's bodies. And I think at some point, you know, guys end up figuring it out, you know, pretty easily. And, you know, I think sometimes when like you're a guy, you're like, oh, I'm like kind of chubby and like want to keep my shirt on, but it's a totally different thing than your body totally changing that I feel like women's bodies do, you know?
Also because like, I mean, this is the most obvious thing in the world that it's like, you know, like my body is, if my stomach was on a girl, people would be like that. Like people will call me skinny and it's like, I am, but it's like not real. If not, you know what I mean? Like just the standard for girls. And I think that is probably where it comes from. So then you have to have like good, not just like good breasts, but you have to have like, to have good breasts without a shirt or a bra or anything. It's like, no one has that. Like what, you know what I mean? It's like, I look good with a shirt on. And then the second it's summer, I'm just like, and I'm not skinny. That's like clear.
Oh, I mean like me and you and John and a couple other friends we've been on like a text thread of this like 7-minute HIIT workout to just like try to keep each other semi-active. And I feel like we've all done pretty good at it. And I think there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, that's like inspired me to do more exercise and have been more fit this summer. But then there'll be times where I'm like we talk about this all the time. We're like TV fit versus real life fit. And I'm like, oh, I would be put on a TV show as like, oh, that dude's like kind of chubby, you know? And it's like, and I think like you're saying the whole concept of dad bod, like where people are like, oh, dad bod, Ophira Eisenberg, who a guest on the pod, she had a whole joke about her husband, you know, getting dad bod and people being like, oh, that's pretty cool, man. You're getting a dad bod. And she was like, no one is ever like, hey, mom bod's kicking in. Way to go. It's like such a double. I mean, it's a much funnier joke when she tells it, but it's such a double standard where it's like, yeah, dad bod, beer belly. People are all about it, but it's got to be a much more traumatizing double standard for men and women.
Yeah, I think, well, and I think like it's one thing. That's what I think is interesting about this storyline. Ooh, bam, I got a really, really great text from my sister just now.
Oh.
Okay, I'll read it. But what I think is really interesting about this is it takes away like the magazines and the obvious thing that everyone knows that's like women have unrealistic like beauty standards, and it puts it in like a private place with women that it's like it's not about society, it's just about like the you know kind of quiet thing. So this is from my sister, who I believe this is what I remembered when I was watching it. So she just texted me. I texted her, "What was it like? What is it like to be a girl in the locker room, naked?" Growing up or these days talking about it on the pod, I feel like you've mentioned this before. And my sister Jamie said, awful, vulnerable. I blocked it out. The girls who had no boobs or whatever were insecure about that. And the girls that had developed bodies were insecure about that. I just remember feeling exposed and judged and fat. I also remember when Hollister first opened. And then what if she just went off? She's like, I remember when Hollister first opened, it was fucking awesome. No.
I remember it was like a surf vibe, but it was also cool and sexy. It was amazing. I loved it.
And they were pumping cologne out through the air vents. And I would get high off that. I also remember when Hollister first opened, they had one big room with a ton of mirrors for the dressing rooms, one guys and one for girls. And I felt insanely exposed when I went to try and close, and it actually made me never go back to that store ever again. So apparently they just had like a fucking changing pit. It was like a mosh pit, but you just change and got really naked.
You just change clothes. That's horrible. It's just open rooms with mirrors and you just throw clothes on and off. That's such a strange experiment for a store. That's horrible.
Yeah, that's so. I mean, that's clearly something that they were like, they probably talked about that in a big meeting. And then there's like this, then they had to change it because everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
That's such a bummer because that's the only negative I've ever found with Hollister. Dang. I hate that. That's really, I mean, everything she is saying, I don't feel like I experienced anything as bad as that with changing in middle school or anything like that.
I just texted my sister. I said, that's incredible. Just read on the pod. And she said, oh, okay. I just re-traumatize her.
Oh my God.
I said, talking about it on the pod. I feel like,
I love that you didn't. That's amazing. That's so funny. She's like, great. I'm glad I'm the topic of this.
That's so funny. Well, no, I thought it was cool. I also, the last thing, I love Kristen Davis's breasts, but it is funny that it's I feel really bad whenever they have to cast fat people or certain things. And so did they have to cast like a lady that didn't have perfect breasts to do this?
I thought about that because her line is like, her line is like, I would kill for your breasts. And so I feel like they had that be like, all right, we need a woman with, you know, not perfect perky breasts or whatever. I mean, I do think that is a thing they probably had to cast for. It's also just casting for like normal people, you know, like, so, but yeah, I mean, I feel like I mean, you and I both have been to auditions, and I think that never been to an audition for someone with bad breasts, but I've definitely been to an audition for like not the hot lead guy. Like definitely been to an audition for I mean, one of the I went to some stock photo auditions one time, which you should never do. You should if you're gonna be in the acting world, don't. I had this one agent that would send me to things for stock photos. Don't ever do a stock photo thing, because what happens is if you book it, they can use your stock photos for whatever, and you've sold away your image. But I got callbacks for like some sort of like depression medicine, and they were like, "We really want to you look great for this." And it was basically just to be the face of you know, which like, hey, depression is a real thing, obviously. I just don't want to, you know, be known as the face of that. Good thing I didn't book it.
The thing also, I'll say this. Let me just get a little vulnerable.
Sure.
If it's not your thighs, it's going to be your boobs. Like, I think everyone is going to have their thing. But I don't know. Like it was for me. I honestly, when my hair started thinning, it was like I had never felt insecure before. Now I probably should have. I probably should have been insecure about certain other things. Even if they weren't physical, maybe they were personality things that I, you know, but, but it is crazy. One thing that I see now, I've gone to like a few restaurants out here in the Hamptons. Because mm-hmm. I'm out here for work, and there will be some guys that are like millionaire people, right? So fucking mm-hmm. rich, and they'll do the thing where they like put their hair in the perfect place and then spray paint it or hairspray mm-hmm. it. And that always makes me feel so bummed out, because
you currently. That's okay. I thought you were texting your sister again to be like, is there another secret about you I can read on our podcast to all of our listeners and fans?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. We had a minor technical difficulty. We've stopped cutting these out on the podcast. We're just rolling with them now.
Well, you know, it's just...
The thing I was going to say is this goes further. We've talked about the Hamptons in the podcast, but... This goes further into just the mystique of the Hamptons. I want you to finish talking about like these men at lunch and, you know, how they're millionaires and it's sad about that. But like also you're in the Hamptons right now and it's like the internet service and the cell service is so bad out there. The Hamptons is the biggest veneer place in the world.
It's so nice.
There's so much pine straw and no parking everywhere, and no one knows how to drive. It's horrible.
I was going to text you my theory that like Verizon and AT&T workers like refuse to update. Like they're like working class people that are like, fuck this, and they just fuck with the internet service to like, because all the billionaires and millionaires out here. But
yeah, it's the worst. It's awful.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But just the ways that every single human being hates their body, that it's like this like clearly has the money and he's thinking about his hair. And it's like, it's insane that it's like, all I want is your money. And all you want is some other dude's hair. Now, listen, some bald people look shitty. And so I get that. But it's just funny to like, to just realize like, body image stuff with women is obviously a huge thing, but when you look at the numbers of, and I don't think it totally compares to guys at all. I do think it's way harder to be a girl, but when when you look at like the balding industry for men, like it's like a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
And I think that is funny because it's still just connected to like, it's one of the biggest insecurities for men. Like the two biggest insecurities for men are like balding and penis size. And those are both body image things. So like you can be chubby, but it's like, if you're chubby, you have a small dick and you're bald. Like that's like three strikes that are going to just make you feel like shit.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's all body image.
You're going to drive off a bridge. Yeah. I mean, it's, It's totally real because I think it exposes things that everyone clings to for security. I mean, John mm-hmm. talked about it, about, you know, like you and another friend of ours, who is also a Baldman, have both talked about that being like basically having to confront one of your greatest fears earlier on in your adult yeah. life. And then you felt way better about it. And I do think, like, I
now
mean,
I'm
John
like a bald shaman. Taking
people
my
come to you.
Yeah. I'm like, come into my tent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you take people on like mystical quests of their hair falling out. But it is like, it's a huge thing because you're like, oh, this is something that this was my identity and it's not that anymore.
I think it's like having good boobs and balding are kind of linked to the same thing. Stop me if you think I'm getting too deep. I don't think I am, but it's like boobs and balding are linked to the same thing, that it's like once you have bad, your boobs are sagging, you're closer to dying. And once your hair falls out, it represents you're closer to dying. Like it all comes back. Like on one hand, it's body image. And on the other hand, it's like you're going to die and you need to reckon with that because your body's deteriorating.
Yeah. It's youth and vitality. It's youth and vitality. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just like, yeah, changing and going into another place. And I mean, like one of my favorite poems by T.S. Eliot, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. It's this whole thing about this guy getting old and like being afraid that like women won't talk to him anymore. And he talks about getting a bald spot and like walking alone on the beach. And it's just this, like, you're seeing someone's confidence erode, but also seeing it, it's like an isolating thing that you're like, I'm getting closer to death. And I think there's a thing when you're young and maybe you don't have body image issues, or you just don't even think about it, where you're like, oh yeah, I'll be fine. But everyone, if you live long enough, if you're a woman and you have great boobs and then you have kids and you get older, like gravity is like a thing that like happens to everyone's body. So it's like everyone is going to face that, no matter you're insanely hot.
I used to yawn with abandon and now I don't, around other people and even by myself now, because once I got fillings that have silver, I didn't want people to see them. And then I've had like kids just be like, why are your teeth black? Because like they're silver, but when you don't have words, you're just like, and it's just like, all right, well, yawning was fun for 25 years. And then I got a cavity and I can enjoy like one of the simplest pleasures in life, which is just, was just getting your body more air because
because you're tired. But the flip side of all of this, the flip side of all of it, I mean, I'm glad that Charlotte's able to, you know, feel good about the fact that she is still hot. I bet her thighs look great too. But her thighs are fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
But like, they're great. But the flip side of all of it is when you do meet someone, or I think we talked about this in our last podcast or the Patreon podcast, but like you are safe with someone who's like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care that like your hair is falling out, or like, I don't care that like your body looks this way. You know, like it's just, you know, it's when someone's just like, hey, it's fine. You're here. We're together. It's great. You know, like that's because I mean, beauty's fleeting, man. Beauty's fleeting. We're all on a runaway train to death, everybody. And so, you know what? You're on a runaway train to death. So just walk up to the bar cart and let's have a drink and enjoy the ride. You know, that's
John's like, I listened to one of the episodes you and Corey did. You guys just talked about dying for like 30 minutes.
You guys talked about dying and people's hair falling out and women's boobs getting saggy. You didn't even talk about Natasha. We saw Natasha. She's 5'10". How did you guys get off on a whole existential thing?
She's 5'10".
Perfect teeth.
This is the perfect parallel to this storyline. This is not a perfect episode, but it's pretty damn good. And the parallel of security in the private space, and then with Natasha is just amazing. First of all, it's wild that they read the article. I don't know if it's a pro or a con, if they should have or shouldn't have. I lean towards it's a terrible mistake that you 100% have to do. That it's like, the advice is like, do not read that article. It is 100% a mistake to read that article. And every single human being, you do that with your friend. You do it, you just don't do it alone, because you shouldn't do it. So yeah, you may as well have someone else do it that way, you know?
You mean reading the article of like the ex getting the exes.
The Natasha Big article.
Natasha Big article, yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
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 You know, you don't read it, but you can't help but read it. And you're right. You do it with a friend, you have a friend pull you away. It's like a car wreck, though. Like, you gotta, when you first hear, like, it's one thing to be like, I'm deleting my ex's Instagram. But when a big moment like that happens, you're just like, part of you wants to, no matter what, you know?
Yeah. But it's one of those things that it's like, I mean, that's like what, I guess that's what friendship is, because it's like, if Carrie was just like, should I read the article? It's like 1000% you should not. And it's like, all right, thank you. You're correct. Go ahead, read it to me. It's like, all right, I'm here. You know, like,
yeah, totally.
Because the corrected, you know, but also I thought it was cool because it's a great representation of what it's like to be, I don't know. This kind of had all, they pulled out all the stops for this, which was like, she sees her trying on her wedding dress, the article, then the wedding dress. Like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
For Carrie.
She's kind of, it does suck for Carrie. And like, they've kind of painted again this like small New York where she keeps running into this person, which like, that sucks. That sucks to keep having that happen and seeing someone that you're with now get married and you keep running into them and you find out how they met. And, you know, that sucks. Totally sucks for Carrie. But they tie it up well with the thank you note, with like things being friendly, but Carrie feeling, you know, a little bit of an upper hand, which is kind of funny.
The how they met with thing.
Yeah. But also, how crazy how things end up. You know, you get to the end of this episode and you're like, I'm sure there were people that were like, this isn't over. Big and Carrie aren't over.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to be like, if you could see into the future, to just be like, oh yeah, you feel like you're on good terms with this woman, but she misspelled a thing, you feel better. Just buckle up to what's going to happen for both of you.
You know what? I'm thinking about the new series, and what I think is going to happen knowing this is, I think that like, they've never truly resolved their differences.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they're going to fire up a potential divorce. And then they're going to like try to once and for all settle like the Big and Carrie difference, and they're going to end up together.
I could see that happening. That is because, the best thing for. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Just life. That's what I think is like, they really, even up through the second movie, like they've never totally reckoned with their demons as a relationship. And I think they have, I think everything's going to be like, they're going to get divorced. But it's like thinking about the end, not like the storyline, but the end of the storyline is going to be like, we've always been like this. Like, we can choose to not be together or not, but there's no way they don't end up together at the end, because it's always driving towards them being together. That's what this storyline reminded me of.
Yeah. There is a weird thing where people, like, we asked a thing on our Instagram where people were like, Carrie is the only character who hasn't fully gone through a change. Like, all the other women go through some sort of change. And I can see that happening. But like, one thing that you do get at the end of the show is when you find out his name is John and stuff, like Carrie's relationship is with the city and with herself. But her and Big, in a weird way, are like together and also separate individuals. And I don't know if that's in like an unhealthy codependence or not, but like, they're definitely like individuals that are choosing to be together, who clearly don't have everything worked out, but you definitely see a relationship of two individuals. I don't know if it's the most healthy one, but you definitely do see that. And I think it'd be interesting to see them actually dive more into it and see what's going to happen. What I was going to say is it's a very cathartic thing to like talk to someone and just be like, let's hash it out. And then if you get to the other side where you're like, you know what? I feel really good that we actually just aired all our dirty laundry. We still want to be around each other. Like, you know, that's a good thing. It's when you kind of know things are good.
Yeah. They're on one hand, everyone says they have a toxic relationship. And then on another hand, they do have a beautiful relationship in that they're constantly drawn to each other. And like, they see a lot of shitty darkness out in the rest of, or uninteresting things in the rest of the world. So they're always like going after these other things and they're still drawn to each other. And, and I don't know, man, it would just like feel for Carrie having to experience that. Like everyone's going over the exes and being like, what do they have that I don't have sort of thing. And to see like 5, 10, 15 or 10 years younger, storybook getting together, you know. And you know what?
Yeah.
Completely petty, the most pettiest write-off of someone that is could not be more valid. A misspelling of the word there is there couldn't, that is the perfect thing you need to be like, you know what? Fuck this bitch.
Dude, you're absolutely right. It feels very petty, but there is just kind of a thing where you're like, shoot, man, I'm good. This dumb idiot that can't figure out the difference between there and there. I'm fine. Dude, hey, be tall of, all you want. You can't spell. Like it's
some
just,
of
it's
some
just,
of
it gives
our,
you enough ground.
Yes. And some of our best and most intimate hangs as friends between me and you, between John, between like some of our friends that have like been on this podcast are just when it's like relationship or work or anything wise has just been like, all right, this sucks. Let's fucking, let's order some drinks. Let's spend more money at dinner than we're supposed to. And
yeah.
And let's talk some shit. Like, no, they fucking suck, dude. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
dude,
totally.
There's been some nights of that, which that's like what's fun to just be like, because you know that it's petty and it's dumb. And it's like, you don't want to judge someone for that. And in the right time, it's like, you know what? That person fucking sucks. Like that's what friends are for.
It's true. And just to be like, hey, listen, I, you know what? I'm not going to be a jerk to that person's face, but just be like, hey man, don't worry about it. The person sucks. Yeah. You're better off.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we, I think we're over time. And
God,
I think,
we're over time.
Bro, we're over time, but we're, listen, we heard from John Sieber. We had the three boys on a pod again, and John's going to be back in the studio soon. Subscribe to our Patreon if you want to hear more episodes. You get an extra one there every week. And we're zooming right along in peak Sex and the City season 3. I love it. Good to talk to you.
Love you all.
Yeah.
And later to the tater.
Taters. Later, taters. Bye.
Bye.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys. And if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.